Thank you very much for distributing the study sheets. Now, just if you take a quick look at both sides of the sheet, there is a possibility that this shear is going to have to go into a second shear. It may be a two-part series. I don't know if I can get everything covered the way I want to, but maybe not. Maybe we'll be able to make it. Let's see. But we'll leave that option open so that I don't feel that I'm under pressure. In Parashat Vayera, the end of the Seder is most probably the most passionate act of a religious nature in history. Avraham, the Akedah, Vayhi Achar Advarim Ha'el, number one. And it came to pass after these things, V'Elokim Nisa'et Avraham, God tested Abraham. Not everybody says that the word Nisan means tested, because tested leaves the impression as though God doesn't know whether he's going to pass the test of God. Of course God knows. Nisa can also mean raised and uplifted. The mast of a ship is the nace of the ship. Avram is going to be elevated for a whole world to see the extent of his devotion to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Avram, Vayomer, and Avram said he named. There's a great deal of discussion in the Mefarshim about Vayihi Achar Advarim Ha'ele, after what? After what? And there are those who say that Vayihi Achar Advarim Ha'ele means famous Rashbam. Avram had entered into a covenant with Avimelech, Melech Plishtim, a non-aggression pact between the two, and in a sense, what Avram really did was that he relinquished, for some generations, he relinquished the rights to Yerushalayim and Harabayit, and the Rashbam brings a medrash that says that Avram, in a sense, is undergoing punishment. The Rashbam's words are from the medrash, now that you have a son, you feel that you can enter into all sorts of negotiations and in a sense, in a real sense, relinquish rights for many generations to Eretz Yisrael and to Har HaBayit. But we'll leave that for the present. That's not really going to be the focus of this year. You know, you can get all excited with who knows what I'm going to say. Don't get excited. I'm not going to say it. By the Achar Dvorov Ha'ele, there's also the opinion that says, Achar Dvorov Shel Satan, after the words of Satan. Satan stood up before God and said, take a look, he's 100 years old, you give him a child, and he's made a big party when the child was weaned, and didn't even bring one sacrifice to you. Where is his sense of appreciation and gratitude? So the Rebbeinu responds to Satan by saying, what are you talking about, Avraham? If I'll ask him for that son as a sacrifice, he's going to do it. I've always liked Rav Kook's pshat. Rav Kook says, Vayihi achar hadvarim ha'ele means following everything that preceded from the beginning of the creation of the world. From creation until that day, the great event of all that everything was leading up to was the Akedah. The Akedah is going to be indeed the birth of a Jewish people who are going to have Mesilas Nefesh, self-sacrifice for Klal Yisrael, and therein lies the eternity of the Jewish people. They will survive through thick and thin, and of course, we bear quite eloquent testimony. Achar Dvarav Ha'ele, everything. God was looking for an individual and a people. With the Akedas Yitzchak, it's no longer an individual, but it is a people that are going to be infused with that sense of self-sacrifice, that nothing is going to stop us. All right, so God says to Avram, calls him and he says, Hineni, Vayomer. And God said, Kachma Dinkla Yechidcha Asher Ohavta. And Yitzchak, take your one and only son who you love, Yitzchak, lech lecha l'eretz Moriah, and go to the land of Moriah. Go to the land of Moriah. V'ha'alei v'sham l'ola, and offer him as a sacrifice al achar ha'arim, upon one of the mountains, asher omar eilecho, that I will show you, that I will tell you. This is it. This is where, this is the moment at which it all begins. Har ha'moriah. To us, it is known as Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount. Now, you have to understand that all of Yahadut stands on two mountains. There are two mountains that define the Jewish people. Those two mountains are Mount Sinai and Mount Moriah, Har HaBayit. But there is a tremendous difference, all the difference in the world between these two mountains. Har Sinai is where God descended upon the mountain for one time in all of history, and he spoke to his people Israel, and he gave them Torah. Har Moriah is the mountain upon which Avraham came ready to sacrifice his son Yitzhak. There's a tremendous halachic difference between the two. There has never been a movement in Israel to go to Mount Sinai. We don't know where Mount Sinai is. We don't care where Mount Sinai is. Why? Isn't it awesome? God himself descended upon the mountain, and Sinai doesn't mean a thing in Jewish law. What was said there does. It doesn't mean anything. We never even bothered to be concerned about where Har Sinai is. Har HaMoriah, Har HaMoriah. We're going to learn about the sanctity, the holiness, how hallowed Har HaMoriah is. And obviously the difference between the two is the following. Har Sinai was unapproachable. No one was permitted to go up to the mountain as long as the divine presence was there. God himself says in Torah, when my presence will ascend heavenward, do you know what Har Sinai is? A berg, the Alaberg, a mountain like all mountains. Its significance and its importance was for the moment and the message, but as a geographic location, it has absolutely no meaning in Jewish law. Why? Because it was only holy as long as the divine presence was there. Divine presence is gone. No holiness. More than that, holiness in this world, kedusha in this world, is always the act of man. If I say, this table should be holy and sanctified to the Beit HaMikdash, it becomes holy and it becomes sanctified. I say this animal should be an Ola or a Chatos or a Shlomon. Man is the one who has the halachic power to invest something with sanctity, not God. So therefore, for all time, Mount Sinai, all right, a great event that took place there, that we remember every day of our lives and we pass it on, Leman, in order that you should tell your children and your grandchildren what took place at Sinai. But there is no sanctity to the mountain. If Hamas wants it, they can be our guests. Nemdir. But where is there a struggle? The struggle is about Har HaMoriah. Because Har HaMoriah's sanctity begins with the fact that Avraham is ready to sacrifice Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is ready to be sacrificed. Here we are talking about the Siris Nefesh. Oy, does that create sanctity? And then, of course, we're going to see that later we're going to see in the Chambam that the sanctity of Middosh and Yerushalayim is because of the divine presence. Wait a minute. Divine presence. But he says, the divine presence never departed from Har HaMoriah and Yerushalayim. Divine presence is a constant here. Do you know what Mikdash and Yerushalayim become? They become like Har Sinai when God descended upon the mountain. And therefore the sanctity of Mikdash and Yerushalayim is in existence Ad HaYom HaZeh, until today and until the end of all time. Alright? Vayashkar Avram Bapoker, Vayahboshet Chamorah, Avram got up in the morning and he saddled his donkey and he took his two boys with him, Vyas Yitzchak Beno, and they went, okay. Later it's going to say, Vayhi Vagamashlishi, on the third day, he looked up and he saw the mountain. The Medrash says that he saw a cloud that was inextricably intertwined with the mountain, and he knew that is the place. He asked the two youngsters who were with him, the two who accompanied him, Eliezer and Yishmael, right? He asked them, Do you see anything? No. He asked Yitzchak, do you see anything? Yitzchak says yes. So Avram knows that this is the place, and this is a place for Avram and Yitzchak, and it's not for any one of the other two. All right. Let's take a look at the Rashi on Har Eretz HaMoriah, the land of Moriah. We also have to know one other thing that we're going to have to talk about is that Yerushalayim is really never mentioned by name in all of Torah. It will appear in Tanakh 669 times, but it does not appear in Torah. There are two kinds of references to Yerushalayim, or three. The first reference to Yerushalayim was in last Seder, when Avraham Avinu comes back from his great victory against the four superpowers of the day, and Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem comes out to greet him. Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, who comes and he blesses Avraham, the God on high is the one who has given you this victory. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, the Targum says, Melech Yerushalayim, he is the king of Yerushalayim. Shem ben Noach is who it's supposed to be. The second time it appears is here in the Akedah, but not by the name Yerushalayim, but by the name Eretz HaMoriah or Har HaMoriah. It's going to be mentioned about 22 or 23 times, starting with Parshat Ha'ei in Sefer Devarim. It is going to be referred to in this semi-mysterious way, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha, the place that God is going to choose, Mikol Shvatecha, from amongst all of your tribes. The place that God will choose. And the only time that we ever find out that it is chosen, we already begin to hear about it in Yoshua, and it already goes in Yoshua, it's already by the name Yerushalayim, but ultimately its sanctity is going to come in the days of David and Shlomo. The Rashi, then we're going to learn a little piece of Gemara. Eretz HaMoriah. Rashi says, Yerushalayim. Rashi tells us straight, Yerushalayim. V'chein b'durei ha'yonim. In Chronicles it says, Livnot et Beit Hashem b'Yerushalayim b'Har HaMoriah. There it talks about building the house of God. Where? In Yerushalayim, on Har HaMoriah. So we know now that Har HaMoriah is part of Yerushalayim. Al Shem, why is it called Moriah? Al Shem Shemishom Ho'ro'o Yotzei B'Yisrael. Because from there, instruction, teaching, and the ways of Torah emanates to Israel.